Good morning. For those of you who do not know who I am, my name is Corey Camp. We came to this church many, many years ago. We've moved back, and here I'm again. And here I am for the third time doing the little leading the lesson, and so I'm praying and hoping that third time is the charm. So we're glad to see you here this morning. We hope those that are home enjoying the wonderful day, and I'd like to thank Susan for that beautiful prelude. It's so nice. We are so fortunate in this church to have some wonderful musicians that can lead us in music. It's a great thing. Those of you that need the nursery, it is open this morning. I don't see a whole lot of you little ones out there, but if you'd like to take advantage of it, the nursery is open. So if you all will join me in the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all. From you comes our praise in this gathering for worship.
We will pay before those who fear you.
The poor shall eat and be satisfied.
Those who seek him shall praise the Lord forever. Good morning. It's good to see you here in the house of the Lord, and those that are with us via Facebook, welcome. And we would like to start our service with the opening hymn, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee, hymn 282. Stand if you are able.
May sit. If you would like to join me in the prayer of confession, it's printed in your bulletin. Holy God, we expect perfection, joy, success, and ease. After all, we work hard and try to be kind, but then we see the brokenness of the world, and we live the brokenness of our own lives. Our expectations are shattered, and we step away from our neighbors, ourselves, and you. Remove the blinders we set up for ourselves, that we might see the world ourselves and our neighbors anew, and find joy in today. Amen.
Gloria be to God. Thank you.
may be seated. For the offertory, we do have a collection plate in the narthex, so please feel free, or you're able to send in your pledge or your contribution through the mail. We accept that too, so either one of those would be great. We give back to God what He has given to us with our offerings and ourselves. And remember, it's not always monetary. It's the people that provide all of the things that make our church happening, our church secretaries, our ministers, our you that provide Sunday school teachers, everything. That's a way that you can also contribute and praise God. So now if we'll sing the doxology. As you can stand, but you all may be seated for the prayer of dedication. Rest your legs. Loving God, in letting go of the gifts we offer and releasing them for you, we help your help, your use, help us to let go of any attempts or inclinations to control your activity in our lives. We pray for the reign of your free and graceful Spirit in our midst. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Are there any children that want to come down front this morning for the children's moment? It will be very short. So if you want to, or if you want to just sit where you are, that's fine. Either way. Okay. How many of you have ever kind of been out with your parents and you've kind of walked around and the first thing you look and your parents aren't there? What do you do? Do you panic? Do you think, oh my gosh, I've lost my parents? They're lost. Not that you're lost, but your parents are lost. That's even worse. Well, it's the same thing with Christians. Sometimes we wander about not knowing where we're going. We just kind of take a little walk, a little stroll. We go from here to there. And the next thing we know, we've kind of wandered away from Jesus. And we need to find our way back to Him, because what happens when you're lost and you do find your parents? They're excited, and you are so excited, aren't you? And you feel safe. And that's the same thing with us. When we wander away from God and we finally find our way back, we feel safe because we know that God is watching over us, and He will protect us, and He will keep us safe. Okay? All righty. So, that was the short version of the children's service. So, today, I'm going to read from the Old Testament, and you can follow in your pew Bible if you'd like. It will be a little different because I'm reading from my study Bible, so it's a little different than what's in your pew Bible. This is from 2 Samuel 1, verse 1, and then verses 17 through 27. This is when David becomes the king over Judah. After the death of Saul, David returned from his victory over the Amalekites and spent 2 days in Ziklag. Then David composed a funeral song for Saul and Jonathan. Later he commanded that it be taught to all the people of Judah. It is known as the Song of the Bow and is recorded in the book of Joshua. Your pride and joy, O Israel, lies dead on the hills. How the mighty heroes have fallen. Don't announce the news in Gath, or the Philistines will rejoice. Don't proclaim it in the streets of Ashkelon, as the pagans will laugh in triumph. Or mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you or your slopes, For there the shield of the mighty was defiled. The shield of Saul will no longer be anointed with oil. Both Saul and Jonathan killed their strongest foes. They did not return from battle empty-handed. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. They were together in life and in death. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O women of Israel, weep for Saul, for he dressed you in fine clothing and gold ornaments. How the mighty heroes have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies dead upon the hills. How I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you. And your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of women. How the mighty heroes have fallen. Stripped of their weapons, they lie dead. Here ends the reading of the Old Testament. The New Testament is in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 7 through 15. And once again, this is from my study Bible, which is a little different than the Pew Bible. Since you so excel in so many ways, you have so much faith, such gifted speakers with such knowledge, such enthusiasm, and such love for us. And now I want you to excel also in this gracious ministry of giving. I am not saying you must do it, even though the other churches are eager to do it. This is one way to prove your love is real. You know how full of love and kindness our Lord Jesus Christ was. Though he was very rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty he could make you rich. I suggest that you finish what you started a year ago, for you were the first to propose this idea, and you were the first to begin doing something about it. Now you should carry this project through to completion, just as enthusiastically as you began it. Give whatever you can according to what you have. If you are really eager to give, it isn't important how much you give or how much you are able to give. God wants you to give what you have, not what you don't have. Of course, I don't mean you should give so much that you suffer from having too little. I only mean that there should be some equality. Right now you have plenty and can help them. Then at some other time they can share with you when you need it. In this way, everyone's needs will be met. Do you remember what the scriptures say about this? Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over, and those who gathered only a little had enough. Here ends the reading. I searched in my mind what I wanted to preach about, or talk about, let's not say preach, what I wanted to talk about, and something kept kind of going through my mind, and one of them was a Christmas hymn. I wonder as I wander out under the stars how Jesus the Savior did come forth to die. I don't know if you all know that hymn or not, but it was the wonder and the wandering part that kind of grabbed me and made me think a little bit. So I started thinking about all the things and all the places that I've wandered to in my life. Seems like lately I've been doing a lot of wandering. And I don't think I'm through yet. I think I still have some more wanders to make. But just for a little background, I've always been active in a church. I was raised Lutheran, Missouri Synod, which is a little different. That's how I met Mike Hyas, actually, when I was in college. He played the organ at the church I went to, and I worked for his dad. Small world. Here we are again. But when I was in high school, I thought, I think I might want to be a preacher. And so I talked to my mom about this, and my mother said, oh, no. Women are not preachers in the Majora Synod Lutheran Church. And I went, oh, okay. Well, what else can I do? Well, in the Majora Synod Lutheran Church, pretty much nothing if you're a woman. You have to be a man to do very many things. So that kind of put a quietus on that activity, and so I went off to other things. And as I went off to school, I always still kept up with the Missouri Synod Church. And at one time after I got married, we went to North Carolina. And so I wanted to find a way to fit into the church. And I wandered around, and I finally found a Lutheran church that I could go to. And they were kind of out of a piano player at the time. So I said, I'll volunteer. I'll need a little. And they said, oh, sure, great. So I went and I played. And I was playing and I was playing. And the minister finally leaned over and he said, you can stop playing now. So I did. And I thought, okay, playing the piano in the church is not for me. That's not something I can do as well. So definitely was looking for other things. But I've always been in the choir, no matter where I went. I've always sung in the choir. Some good, some bad. The last church I went to was very small, and we didn't have a choir. We had two of us. And it was so funny because it happened to be a couple that I found was going to move into a house of a friend of mine. And I don't normally do things like this because I really am pretty shy. But I wrote them a letter and I said, oh, I understand that you all are Delta Airlines people. Well, my husband was a pilot for Delta Airlines. And I said, I understand that you're Presbyterian as well. And I would really like for you to come to our service. And so they did. And they became fast friends. And that was the gentleman that we did the little duets. We sang for the church. And so that was my wandering down to that area, and so we sang in that. You know, I've never really planned any wandering that I've done. It's always been something else that's led me to that. Part of it was my husband's job. First of all, he was in the military, so I think the first year we were married, we moved 4 or 5 times. That was just in 1 year. And then after that, when he got out of the service, then jobs took us to different places. So it was always, I wandered from here to there. We finally wound up in Lufkin, and we stayed here for a long time. I attended this church for years and years. Did not ever actually join the church. But when we left here and we wandered down the road to Harper, Texas, which is Central Texas, they had a community choir. And so I joined the community choir as a representative of Presbyterian Church there. And they sang every Easter, Thanksgiving, and Christmas. They did a concert with the little service. There were 7 churches in that community, and all 7 churches, even the Catholic churches, participated, which is very unusual for Catholic churches. They don't usually attend things with other churches. But they did. And one Thanksgiving service, that one of their priests was not available, so their deacon spoke. And he was talking about how important it was for us to become part of that church and part of the foundation of that church. And it just struck me. And so I did finally join the Presbyterian Church, and I joined it at that church. So you don't know where that wandering is going to lead you or what it's going to lead you to do. I thought it was interesting. I was trying to look up things about wandering and wandering in the Bible. And one of the Hebrew words, and I will probably mispronounce this, but bear with me. One of the Hebrew words for wanderer is the Tara or the Tera, and that means wanderer, and it comes from one of the places that the Israelites went to when they were wandering around in the desert for all those 40 years. It's also, there are over 40 verses in the Bible about wandering around. I'm just going to read a few of, I'm not going to read the whole thing, so I'm just going to kind of tell you where they are. So if you're interested, you can go look them up later. One is in Psalm 107 on verse 4. Joshua 5, verse 6. Numbers has quite a few of them. One of them was Numbers 32 and verse 13, and then in Numbers 14 and verse 34. Deuteronomy has quite a few. 2 verse 3 and 2 verse 7, and Deuteronomy 32 verse 10, 29 and 5. Amos 8 verse 12, Hebrews 11 verse 38. But one I particularly kind of liked and kind of went with what I kind of wanted to talk about today is Psalm 119 verse 10. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. And I think that's important. As we go around wandering throughout this world, we need to remember why we're here and what we need to be doing. Probably the most important thing in the Bible that we talk about wandering is the Israelites when they were walking around the desert for 40 years. But it actually begins way before that. It begins with Adam and Eve. They had to leave the Garden of Eden, and so began the wanderings of all the people. There's other people in the Bible that we've thought about that have wandered. Ruth is one of those. She kind of comes to my mind quite often because she left all her family. I kind of feel like that sometimes, except my family's here this morning. I've left my family and came to Texas. And Ruth left her family and went to a place that was completely different from her background, her lifestyle, her friends. I came from Missouri to Texas, so that was kind of like a cultural shock too, so just a little bit. But there are a lot of us that wander around. Some of us, like myself, have gone to many places. Some of you may have never left Lufkin. Some of you may have only gone to Houston or Dallas or Tyler. You've never really kind of wandered out of your little comfort zone. But then some of you have gone in lots of places all over the world. And each time you go, each time you wander, those are places that God has led you. You may not think so. You may think you're just going on a vacation. But you never know what's going to happen on that wandering. I was fortunate enough to go to Russia one time. And that was quite an interesting trip just in itself. But then a few years after that, I went to Italy and with some friends. And we were sitting at a table. And it's small and there's a lot of crowded and a couple came in and the waiter asked if they could sit at our table because we had a fairly large table. And we said, sure. They were from Russia. And so we got to talking to them. And, you're sitting elbow to elbow with them. So we started talking to them and we started talking about the fact that some of us had been to Russia. And they were amazed at that because they said, you know, we don't get a lot of American tourists over there. And so we were talking about the differences of things that occur in America and things that occur in Russia. And one of the topics was religion. And we got to talking about how we all had the freedom to practice what we like and to worship God as we want. And my group was all different religions. They weren't all Presbyterian, Methodist, Presbyterian, and a Church of Christ. So different, and of course, they said, well, they don't go to church because they weren't really encouraged to go to church. So here we were talking to people from a country that we had visited before, not thinking that a few years later, here would we be talking to people again and having a chance to talk about God. So that wandering, I want to call that God led. He led us to those places and those people so that we would have an opportunity to talk about him. Our wandering is a path that God chooses for us. And We have some say-so in it, and he talks to us and tells us what we should do, but what we do we listen or not is the question. So what we learn on those travels as we make our way is important. And we need to listen when God talks to us. So do we understand what he's telling us? That's where I come into some problems sometimes, because I know he's telling me things I should do. But I think sometimes what I want to do gets in the way of what he wants me to do. So I'm listening to him, but I'm thinking, I think I have a better way on that. And I don't always have a better way. Sometimes my way is even worse. So you need to be very aware of what he's telling you and listen with all your heart, not just your mind and not just your ears. You need to listen with your heart and follow where he's leading you. And sometimes we don't ever know why he's led us to where he wants us to go. We may know years later, or it may never, ever come out. But somehow, that place that you were taken to is important. So we need to remember that and try to find why we're led there. What's the importance of this? And why did we wander there? Why? And that's where the wondering comes in. We need to ask those questions and wonder why this is occurring and why we're there and what we should do about it. You know, I think sometimes we don't pay attention to what we've learned. And I don't know, sometimes it's not just a thing, but it's what makes us have a closer relationship with God. That wandering and wondering is what, it's when you're first meeting somebody. You probably say, oh, well, where are you from? And whose family were you from? And, you know, what are you doing? What's your job? You're establishing some kind of rapport with these people, and we need to do that same thing with God. You need to restore your faith in God and establish a close relationship with him. And you do that by finding different places and going different places, talking to different people and learning about him. It's not just us, but it's also our children that we need to teach about these things. We need to ask them to find out questions about God and to teach them that Jesus is there for them and will keep them safe and protect them. When we don't have an idea of what is happening, that's when we need to pray. And we need to ask God to help us and to lead us when and where he wants us to go, and listen and learn from what he has. And just because you just go to one place doesn't mean that's the end of your wandering. It means that you need to continue that searching and that wondering and asking questions and finding out, because you don't know who you're going to meet when you go on a journey. You don't know what that relationship is going to turn out to be. We certainly didn't know we were going to sit at a table with some people from Russia and find out all about their country. Never even occurred to me. We were in Italy. I thought we'd be sitting next to some Italians. Who knew? So you just don't know. God does have a purpose in our lives. We wonder where he's taken us and all these wanderings. And it's in Ruth, verses 2, verses 20. Ruth may have not recognized God's guidance and plan for her life, but he was with her every day and everywhere she went. Remember, she went to glean the wheat from Boaz, and she just happens to end up owning the field, and Boaz just happened to be a close relative. That was more than just a coincidence. So as you go about your lives and your daily activities, God is working on ways that you may not even be aware of. You must not close that door or ignore him when he speaks to you or what he's done for you. Events in our lives don't just happen by luck or happenstance. It's God directing our lives for his purpose. And in 2 Samuel 7, verse 5, sometimes we have our own thoughts and ideas about what we should be doing. Sometimes, this is what I said, sometimes I think I have a better plan than he does. But that's when God will step in and he says, excuse me, no you don't. That's not the plan I had for you, and that's not what I would like for you to do. So when he does that and he tells us no, we need to take advantage of the other opportunities he's given us. David had plans to build a temple, but that wasn't what God had in mind. So Solomon was to begin the temple, but David did gather the materials for the building. And God's plans was much greater than David had thought with just the building of the temple. The descendants of David's led to the fulfillment of a promise that gives us the birth of Jesus Christ. So that was much greater than the building of a building. We pray with good intentions, but God says no sometimes. So he's directing us to the purpose he has for our lives. This requires a great faith when we accept what he has for us. But when he says no, we need to follow his ideas and not ours. Be open to new places, new experiences. Open your hearts and minds to all that he places before you. And don't be afraid, for your wanderings and your wonderings will lead you closer to God. This is a saying that I found before we moved from Central Texas back to here, and I was a little apprehensive about moving. At the time, we didn't know where we were going. I was homeless for a while. So this is something that I found, and it stuck with me, and I think it's a good thing to remember all the time. Sometimes God closes doors because it's time to move forward. He knows you won't move unless your circumstances force you. So trust that transition. Good God has, he has you in his hands. Amen.
Is Take My Life, hymn number 391. Please stand if you're able.
Let them flow.
seated. I forgot to ask earlier, is there anyone we would like to include in special prayers for today? Just those that are already listed. We include those in our prayers. We ask that God will be with them, that he heals them if that's what they need. He brings them closer to God. As he takes them in a wandering tour around the world, that he brings them back to himself, that he gives them the love and the trust that they need, whatever it is, if it's a healing of the mind, body, or spirit, we ask that he be with them. And if you'll all join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Oh, we forgot the affirmation of faith. Let's do that. I'm sorry. Sorry, I got ahead of myself there. So if you all would join me in the affirmation of faith, and please rise. I'm sorry. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. While y'all are still standing, let's go ahead and recite the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thank you. Y'all may be seated again. We do not belong to ourselves. We belong to God. As Christians, we are called to be led by the Spirit and to follow the lead of somebody who is far more loving and wise than we are. God is greater than our own conscience, broader than our own imagination, and more generous than we would normally choose to be. To live into all of that is to live into the full inheritance of our God and all the full inheritance that God chooses to give us. Amen. You have some belief. May God help you to believe more firmly. You have some love. May Christ help you to love more freely. You have some joy. May the Spirit help you to laugh more profoundly. Go in peace to cheerfully love and serve, following where he leads you. Amen.